Welcome back to Shattering This. We're covering a story of Islamic atrocity in Afghanistan. Of course, you don't hear from the Muslim guy because all the Muslims in Afghanistan are standing behind the rapist wanting to kill this 10-year-old girl. Based on the girl's testimony and the medical evidence, the rape was so violent that it caused a fistula. It's a break between the wall separating the vagina from the rectum. She bled so profusely after the attack that at one point she almost died. She would have died without medical care. Yes, that was consensual sex, according to the mullah. Tore to ribbons. Left her for dead. After the two women's officials began speaking out about the case, they started receiving threatening calls from other mullahs, Islamic religious leaders throughout Afghanistan, as well as from the Afghani government that America has imposed. The government itself said, release the girl, knowing full well that the family will kill her. Photographs of the girl that Dr. Sawari took in the hospital clearly show that she is a prepubescent child. The doctor said that the girl weighed only 40 pounds. She's 10 years old. She showed photographs of the girl to government officials and prosecutors to prove that she was much too young to have consented. And we wanted the girl to have a face, to have this atrocity that was done to her known. One of the women's activists went to the hospital, and she said, I was sitting next to the bed when I overheard the mother and the aunt of this little girl that was raped saying that they were going to kill her. Because she had brought shame on them. The mother of this little girl that was savagely raped by an Islamic cleric in a mosque was told by her mother that her mother wanted to kill her because she had brought shame to the family, only in Islam. You need to know this because it's the same religion, the same rage, the same fascination with death, the same perverse, corrupt, grotesquely immoral nature that is infecting Hamas and Gaza. Those same little boys that are dying, the same little girls that are dying in that conflict because the Hamas militants are using them to shield them, have the same fate awaiting them as this little girl. No one can live with Islam until Islam is exposed and condemned worldwide, until Islam is declared illegal, until Muslims are quarantined. The fate of little girls like this will continue. Rage will continue in Gaza. The carnage will continue in Nigeria, in Libya, in Syria, in Iraq, Pakistan, in the Sudan, in Somalia, and on it goes. The mother went to the little girl and said, "We are going to kill you, because you have brought shame upon us." In Afghanistan, which is a small country, human rights activist groups know of more than 150 such honor killings a year, where the victim of rape, a child in most cases, is killed by their parents. But they say the vast majority go unreported. When Dr. Sawari, who is a pediatrician, arrived to pick up the girl from the hospital and to keep her from her family that had promised to kill her, she heard the male relatives outside threaten her, saying that they wanted to dump her in a river, dead after they killed her. In the hospital room, other doctors overheard the girl's mother holding her daughter's hand, saying, "My daughter, may dust and soil protect you now. We will make you a bed of dust and soil. We will send you to the cemetery where you will be safe." "We're going to kill you. Then we're going to bury you. Don't worry, little girl. We're going to take really good care of you," the mom said. "Only in Islam. The men want to wash their shame with blood." The doctor who took the girl away has now said that the Afghanis have, both from the government and from the Taliban, working together, have exonerated the rapist, and they have sent the girl home to her family that has promised to kill her. Here's another story. It also ties in with our lead up today to the issue in the Ukraine. When a New York Times article cast doubt on the accusation that Osama bin Laden had a hand in the 1998 bombings of the African embassies, President Clinton questioned his own CIA, according to a note that he wrote with his own hand to National Security Advisor Sandy Berger. The memo is part of a 1,000-page release of documents Friday afternoon from the National Archives. It was written after the president apparently read an article in the self-professed paper of record casting doubt on the U.S. Justice Department case that al-Qaeda was the mastermind and was involved in the August 7, 1998 bombings of U.S. embassies in Kenya and Tanzania. Some 224 people were killed in the twin attacks, including 12 Americans. The Times article, entitled "U.S. Hard Put to Find Proof Bin Laden Directed the Attacks," was written the following April, and it raised doubts about bin Laden's involvement. The same thing could be said true about 9/11. There's no proof. So Bill Clinton wrote this note in his own hand. "Sandy, if the facts revealed in this article are right, the CIA sure overstated its case to me. What are the facts?" Clinton wrote with his own pen. The article said that capturing Mr. bin Laden alive would only serve to deepen the complications. American officials say that so far, firsthand evidence that could be used in court to prove that he commanded the bombings has proven to be impossible to obtain. According to the public record, none of the informants involved in the case have direct knowledge of Mr. bin Laden's involvement," end quote. The article also alleged that federal prosecutors had built their case around messages bin Laden had recorded and publicly sent out from an Afghanistan cave, inciting extremists to carry out the attacks. He noted that a joint investigation by PBS Frontline found that bin Laden was less of a ringleader and more of just an inspiration for jihadists. And that's the truth. There's a reason that the United States didn't capture bin Laden and bring him to justice, because we had nothing on him. He was just a good Muslim. He was just inspiring Muslims to be jihadists, reading from the Quran and Hadith, citing the example of Muhammad, citing the message in the Quran, which is to be a jihadist or to be killed by jihadists. He wasn't the planner. He wasn't the coordinator. He didn't conceive the 9/11 plot. He didn't orchestrate the bombings of the African embassies. The whole crusade against Osama bin Laden has been designed to empower, to enrich the U.S. military and its supplier of weapons, and to constrain American liberties, to fleece American pocketbooks, all to have a war against a tactic. And to give that tactic a name, al-Qaeda was chosen. The problem is Islam, pure and simple. The CIA over hyped its case, as Bill Clinton recognized. They lied. And it's not the first time. They lied about the Gulf of Tonkin incident, which caused Americans to engage in Vietnam. They lied. They lied about the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, causing America to invade that country. So many people, hundreds of thousands, have died as a result. They lied when they said that Assad had deliberately orchestrated the use of chemical weapons against his own people in Syria so that America should therefore bomb Damascus. They lied. They aren't trustworthy. They lie. They overstate their case. They're doing so now in the Ukraine, and it's important that you know that this memo, where Bill Clinton knew that the CIA had lied to him about the orchestration by bin Laden and al-Qaeda of the destroyed embassies in Africa. It's a lie. Now, why would you believe them as they try to pin the tail on Putin? They aren't credible. The U.S. isn't credible. I have shared with you on this program throughout last week an explanation of how that plane came down. It was an accident. Yeah, it was a tragic accident. But this was an accident that occurred because the United States motivated thugs in Kiev to overthrow the legitimate government and then provided those thugs with American military might and with billions of American dollars and told them to go attack Donetsk. We started this war. We are supplying the thugs in Kiev in this war. This is a CNN article that explains how the ethnic Russians, those not only who are racially Russian, but who speak Russian, who have been Russian citizens, came to possess the weapons that they have and why they are now deploying them. And when we return to Shattering Myths, I know at this time we would normally be exposing and condemning Paul, and we'll go back to doing that tomorrow. But the world is falling apart, and America is the primary belligerent, and it needs to be exposed. This article is from CNN. Under a blazing sun in early June, a group of pro-Russian rebels, ethnic Russians, not Russians in the sense of from the government of Russia, but no, just ethnic, racially Russian, Russian-speaking, pro-Russian. Because what happened in the Donetsk region in the east bordering Russia is that the ethnic Russians were disgusted by the thuggery that took place in Kiev. There was a popularly elected president, and he was overthrown by a mob. And so they said, we don't want to be part of the Ukraine experience anymore. We want to go and be part of Russia. We came from Russia. We want to be part of Russia. They are the pro-Russian rebels in eastern Ukraine, and that's actually in Donetsk. We're digging amid a pine woods near a local town. Their grizzled commander was a bearded man in his 50s. Who would not tell us where he was from, but acknowledged that he wasn't a local. He was proud to show off his unit's prized possession, a truck-mounted anti-aircraft unit that was Russian-made. He told us that the weapon had been seized from a Ukrainian base. A few miles away in the town of Kamerovsk, a rebel fighter dispersed two combat engineering tanks. They said they had seized from a local factory. The eastern Ukraine has long been the center of weapons production for Russia. They had parked one of the tanks next to the town square. These were just two incidents of how rebels in the eastern Ukraine and Donetsk were steadily adding more sophisticated weapons to their armory, including tanks, multiple rocket launchers, and anti-aircraft systems. In early June, they began to target Ukrainian warplanes and helicopters, and with some success. the day after we met the commander in the Pine Woods, an Anatov AN-26 transport plane was shot down over Donetsk. Several Mi-8 and Mi-24 helicopters were also hit during this period. It was an Ilyushin IL-76 cargo plane that was brought down near Luhansk. It's about the same size and silhouette of a commercial passenger jet. It was filled with Ukrainian soldiers that were ready to attack in Donetsk. 49 military personnel were killed when the IL-76 crashed short of the airport. For the most part, these aircraft were flying relatively low altitudes and were targeted by shoulder-launched SA-7 missiles and anti-aircraft guns, the very same kind of weapons that the United States has provided the Islamic State and al-Nusra in the Syrian conflict. The pro-Russian rebels had taken control of several Ukrainian military depots and bases and stripped them of their weapons. The SA-7 was the standard Soviet issue, relatively easy to operate. It is effective at altitudes up to about 8,000 feet. It was, but it was the ZU-23-2 anti-aircraft batteries, which the rebels also obtained, which would be a world away from the SA-11 or Buck Beach system, that seems increasingly likely to have been used to bring down flight MH17. Could the Russian rebels have acquired the serviceable bulk from a Ukrainian base and operated it as they claim? The evidence is circumstantial, of course, but a great deal of Ukrainian military hardware is in poor condition. It is redundant, and it was stored in the Donetsk area. Much of it was made there. On June 29th, and I told you this all through last week, and no one seems to want to reveal this story, but it's true. On June 29th, Russian rebels, not Russian in the country, but Russian ethnicity, Russian-speaking, those in Donetsk that don't want anything to do with the Kiev government, and I can't blame them, raided a Ukrainian army missile facility. It's called Facility A-1402. That missile facility was just outside the city limits of Donetsk. Photographs show them examining what they found. There's photographic evidence, along with internet postings, of them surrounding one of these Buk SA-11 missile systems. The Russian website Vosti ran an article the same day. Says the skies over Donetsk will be defended by a surface-to-air missile system called Buk of Reach. Beach being the tree. They're all named after trees. The aircraft defense system was confiscated from the Ukrainians, not the Russians. An expert talking to CNN said exactly the same thing that I shared with you last week, which was apparent, it was obvious. I mean, this... knowing what happened here is so obvious, it disgusts me that the United States is trying to create a case against Russia, particularly with America's lack of credibility in such matters. This military expert said that the Buk, B-U-K, which is Russian for beech, as in the tree, would normally operate with a separate radar that picks up the overall air picture. This is almost certainly not the case with the MH17, making it more difficult to identify and target and track an aircraft and its course. The fact is that these systems are very reliable in terms of being able to lock on and shoot down an aircraft. The difficulty with these systems is they can't identify that aircraft. And that really is the case with the rebels who in all likelihood fired this. Now, I wouldn't rule out the possibility that the Ukrainians did it, but the likelihood is that the rebels did it, and they did it with this buck unit that they confiscated outside of the Donetsk armory. But it is impossible for the operator to know what kind of an aircraft it is. And there would be no way visually to determine the difference at 30-some-odd thousand feet. A troop transport that the Ukrainians had used previously, trying to attack and kill these rebels that are simply trying to say, we don't want part of this thuggery government in Kiev. We don't want to be part of it. We don't identify with them. We don't identify with Europe. We're Russians. We speak Russian. We've been Russian citizens. We identify with Russia. We don't want to identify with Europe or this government that is acting belligerently, by the way. You know, calling freedom fighters terrorists. There's no act of terror being perpetrated by these people. They didn't deliberately bring down a civilian aircraft. They couldn't identify the aircraft. They don't have air traffic control capability. They had no idea that it was a civilian aircraft. They knew that previously they had brought down a troop transport of Ukrainians armed to the teeth that were coming into Donetsk to kill them. Now, this individual went on to say that among the pro-Russian rebels, there are fighters who served in the Russian army. Yep, that's the answer. Yeah, you have to have some training to operate one of these. But there are many, many of the Russian rebels who served in the Russian army. There are even more who served in the Ukrainian military. And the Ukrainian military has these Buk anti-aircraft systems. And this spokesperson, expert, says, yeah, I would agree that you have to have some expertise, but there's no reason to suspect that the Russian government had to supply that expertise. Most of these men who were fighting for their freedom have served in one of the two militaries. They would know how to operate it. The system needs a crew of three or four who know what they're doing to operate the Buk correctly. Russian assistance would have been required unless the rebel operators were previously part of the Ukrainian army, which they were, or the Russian army, which many were. Now, it's a working theory in the U.S. intelligence community that Russian military supplied a Buk surface-to-air system to the rebels. Now, by the way, had the Russians done so, they would have been moral in doing so. It would have been appropriate. It is vastly more appropriate for the Russians to supply fellow Russians with a means to defend themselves from the Ukrainian military that is bombing them. I mean, infinitely more moral than appropriate for them to do that than it is for the United States to supply jihadists in Syria with weapons to bring down Assad, that the jihadists in Libya to bring down Gaddafi. Infinitely more appropriate. So if they had done so, if Russia had done so, it would have been a moral and appropriate thing to do to provide these people the means to defend themselves. Now, it's a tragedy that they misidentified a target and brought down a civilian aircraft. But it wasn't intentional. And it would not have happened had the United States not instigated this war through its State Department and through the CIA on behalf of NATO and a government that can't get out of the Cold War. It's the last war that America won. And so America wants to revive it because we're getting our behind kicked by Islam. Putin was right, saying this aircraft never would have been brought down had America not started the war in the Ukraine. It is a casualty of that war. It's a tragedy, yes. But it was shot down with a confiscated missile system operated by people who had been previously trained to operate it. Russia has denied that any equipment in service with the Russian armed forces has crossed the border into the Ukraine, and there's no proof that it has. NATO is releasing satellite pictures which showed the tanks in Russia were in Russia in early June. And then they said, those tanks were taken into the Ukraine. Well, they don't have any pictures of that. They have pictures of Russian military hardware in Russia. Oh, boy, that's a big surprise. And they claim, well, that magically appeared in Ukraine, but no evidence of that whatsoever. There's a 12-second shot of a one of these beach anti-aircraft mobile systems on a road in a unidentified area. It's a community, an urban area, not a rural area. But there's no indication of where it is, where it's going, or who's driving it. And they say, oh, it's being taken back into Russia. There's no evidence of that. The United States says, oh, we have such a case against the Russians for having supplied this, for having trained the people and operating it. Well, if that is the case, it would be appropriate. It would be moral because the United States perpetrated this war against those people. The United States has been arming the other side and funding the other side and encouraging the other side. It would be appropriate for the Russians to respond to protect their people. But there's no evidence that they have. And yet there is absolute and undeniable evidence of the United States' complicity in this matter. It is a tragedy that the world has not come to recognize that the United States cannot be trusted. This is the nation that lied about the Gulf of Tonkin incident so that it could invade Vietnam. Provided all manner of weaponry. Millions died. This is the nation that deliberately lied in the United Nations about Iraq possessing weapons of mass destruction and about their support of Al-Qaeda. All untrue. Nearly a million people died as a result. And today, the most savage war on the planet is being waged between belligerents, fundamentalist Muslims, Sunni and Shia, both armed with American weapons. This is the nation that lied about Pakistan being an ally in the war against terrorism, when they, in fact, are inspiring and controlling the Taliban. This is the nation that lied and said that we were providing weapons to freedom fighters in Libya, when, in fact, the very same kind of weapons that are now being used in the Ukraine and throughout all of Northern Africa came from the United States for these thugs to take down their government and leave Libya in the midst of a catastrophic civil war. This is the nation that lied about there being moderate freedom fighters in Syria and escalated the amount of weaponry that we provided to these fighters in Syria, which were fundamentalist Mujahideen. Ultimately providing the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria with so much weaponry that it became the dominant force in the region. This is the nation that has consistently lied about its role in supporting the Kiev revolt that has caused the civil war in the Ukraine. A well-placed source with access to the latest intelligence told Fox News that the missile launcher used to down the plane is probably back in Russia after it was imported into Ukraine a few weeks ago. There's no proof of that. There's a 12-second video that shows a missile launcher. Doesn't say where it is, where it's going, or who's even driving it. The same source said that the missile was fired from Shinz, a town in the eastern Ukraine. There really is no eastern Ukraine. It's Donetsk. At an emergency meeting of the UN Security Council on Friday, the U.S. pointed the blame at the separatists, saying that Washington believes the jetliner was likely downed by an SA-11 missile, and we cannot rule out technical assistance from Russian personnel. You know, we have to be really careful here because we are instigating World War III. There is less than a 1% possibility that the country of Russia provided military guidance on how to operate this. And even if they did, they weren't operating it at the time that this flight was brought down. And the only reason they were providing, if in fact they have provided, the assistance to the freedom fighters in Donetsk is because the American-backed Kiev government is bombing them. And it's a moral thing to do to allow these people to protect themselves from the military aggression of Kiev. And yet all evidence points to the fact that this system was confiscated from a Ukrainian base on July 29th or June 29th of this year. Damn the evidence. We have a story to tell, and the story we want to tell is that the United States wants to re-engage in the Cold War. But my friends, if we continue to push Russia based on these lies, we're going to get a hot war. This person said, oh, we're making a case. We're building the case. Yeah, they're not trying to find the truth. We're building the case. It's damn near bulletproof at this point. Yeah, well, not the case. The United States should not be trusted because it has consistently lied. U.S. Secretary of State John Lurch Kerry laid out what he called overwhelming evidence that of Russian complicity in the shooting down of the Malaysian airliners to international horror. John Kerry, who has been grotesquely immoral in his statements about Israel and forcing Israel to capitulate the West Bank to the very terrorists that are firing rockets at it. John Kerry has been disgustingly immoral in his depiction of the chemical attack in Syria, blaming it on the Assad regime when it was perpetrated by the rebels. John Kerry, who has been belligerent and grotesquely immoral and constantly condemning China of that which the United States is in fact doing. John Kerry, that has been on the wrong side of the situation in the Ukraine, being opposed to democracy and the will of the people, but being opposed, but being a Cold War revisionist. This John Kerry saying that Russia is responsible for grossly mishandling the bodies of the crash victims of the Malaysian flight. When they pick them up out of the field to so that they can be transported with the Ukrainian government and the rebels fighting over the train so it does not move, they're condemned for disturbing the evidence. And when they have the bodies laid there, which they now have for 3 days, providing the inspectors with access to them, they're condemned for not returning bodies to their loved ones. Damned if they do, damned if they don't. Russia, which we have no proof, has actually supplied weapon systems to ethnic Russians who have been Russian citizens who want to be part of Russia, who have voted overwhelmingly to rejoin Russia. Although we have no proof that they are being armed or coordinated by Russia, we blame Russia for not coordinating them. When it would be totally moral and appropriate for the Russians to provide anti-aircraft weapons to protect their people from being bombed by the pro-American Kiev regime that is being provided with intelligence and military hardware and money by the United States to perpetrate this armed aggression against the people of Donetsk, the ethnic Russians, we still say that they are to blame. It's moral. If they're doing it, it would be appropriate. It would be moral. It is vastly superior by a thousandfold to what the United States did in Vietnam, did in Afghanistan, did in Iraq, did in Libya, did in Syria, did in Pakistan, did in Egypt, and on and on and on it goes. We are the weapons merchants of the world. We are the country that is stirring up virtually all of these conflicts are a direct result of American interference and malfeasance. It is exactly what Yahweh said when he inspired some 2,700 years ago, Yahshua, to pen the words that are now found in Yahshua, Isaiah 18, which calls the United States the belligerent of the world. The The United States, the superpower that tries to menace and control the world through its Navy, through its airplanes, through its rhetoric. It is grotesquely immoral what we are doing, grotesquely inappropriate what we're doing. We're pushing the world to war. Hundreds of thousands of people and soon millions are dying because of the weapon systems the United States is providing and the impetus for war that we are encouraging. God is not pleased. He begins his exposé against the United States with a woe, a warning. We're not listening. I know that most Americans have rejected their government, have rejected organized religion. They've rejected their judicial system. They have rejected their police state. But it's time that we reject our military because it is being used for a force of evil. We are no longer the protectors of liberty. We're the deniers of liberty. That is the role we're playing in Gaza. It's the role we're playing in the Ukraine. It's the role we're playing in Syria and Iraq, and it's the role we played in Libya. We're on the wrong side. We are the belligerent. Folks, if you're listening to this program, wake up, please. Study the evidence. Look at our history. Consider what Yahweh had to say. I would strongly encourage you to go to yadayah.com, to go to the Volume 7, Last Days, and read what God has to say in Isaiah 17 and 18. You'll find it in the last two chapters of the Last Days volume. The world's in a horrible place. There's only one answer.